Welcome along, glad to have you company for the D Word Christmas special. When I started planning the show, I had a short list of one for who I thought would make the perfect guest. So joining me resplendent in a fine Christmas jumper will be Pete Middleton, right after we've heard from Laurie McKenna.
Hail Mary, and your world goes crazy. Your life's not yours, and you're just 15. Hail Mary, and you're hearing angels. They're calling you crazy, but your God has seen you. The silent rose in a field of stone. You, under
Laurie McKenna and a Hail Mary, kicking off our festive edition, where my guest is Pete Middleton, who was diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's in 2019, and since then has become a blogger, public speaker, dementia advocate, and recently appeared on the Channel 4 documentary Love, Loss and Dementia.
Well, the Christmas edition of the D-Word. I just wish this was video, not just radio, because my guest is my friend Pete Middleton, who is, what a superb jumper and a Christmas background. I just wish the listeners could see it, Pete.
I'm in the groove, Peter. I am already, you know. I love Christmas. It's a wonderful time, isn't it? It can be. I know it's lonely for some. But I just like the silliness of it.
Well, we're going to get plenty of that probably over the next 45 minutes or so. But some serious chat as well, hopefully. I mean, I just wanted to start by kind of looking back over a few of the things that happened during the year. And I guess one of the major ones, well, for both sides of the Atlantic, because we've got a lot of American listeners as well. We had a couple of elections. Maybe on one side of the Atlantic, an interesting result, on the other side, not such a shock. But from perspective of dementia and social care and, you know, those whole things, I mean, I saw very, very little in any of the campaigns, really.
You're right. I think the health secretary, Mr. Streeting, talked a lot about health and social care prior to the election, and I know a lot of us tried to lobby him. We were just writing emails that said, social care, social care, social care. And so I'm hoping that some of that has rubbed off. It's too early to say, I think. But you know, my philosophy is that if you're keeping people living well and independently, you're saving money for the NHS in spades. You know, people won't be so long inside hospital if they've got somewhere cozy and fit for purpose to move back into. You know, if their lifestyle is right, all of those things are great. And they're less likely to go into hospital in the first place. So that eases pressure on the NHS just by doing that. It's a no-brainer, I think, that if you put money into that, it does it. But they're not shiny machines, are they? You know, and shiny machines, people are very keen on acquiring those, and they tend to take pride of place, I find, in large institutions like the NHS.
Yeah, I do. You know, I think you're absolutely right. You know, it's not a headline grabber, is it? Unfortunately, but as you said, you know, I was a bit disappointed that you've just said that the amount of money just on an economic basis. I mean, you know, we're seeing the Chancellor doing this, that, and the other, falling out with business and all sorts of things. But just simply for take, you know, take the people out of it for a minute and just think of the amount of money that could be saved is amazing, but that message never seems to get there.
Well, no, I, you know, it just doesn't, and I don't know, I don't know, but watch this space. I think you might find a bit of dementia activism during the next year in a nice, friendly way, just to remind politicians in general that there's a million of us out there, nearly now, and that we have a voice. We also have an income, and we spend it in the local community. So really, we ought to be listened to a little bit more. So I know a number of us want to get a little bit more active and maybe take our message to Parliament and lobby our MPs a little bit more closely to say, you know, come on, listen to what we've got to say.
Yeah, I'd look forward to that. Be absolutely right behind it. I mean, one of the other things happened in the year was development of a couple of new Alzheimer's drugs that say they delay the onset of symptoms. It was kind of it was a double-edged sword, really, because there was a lot of hope, a lot of newspaper headlines, new drugs, new hope, etc. And then it kind of turned on its head when the NHS said, "Well, actually, we're not going to prescribe them," and people then had their thoughts on that. I mean, you know, what's your whole thoughts on the thing?
I think my respect for NICE went up through the roof when they made what I believe was a good decision in the lecanemab and donanemab drugs by refusing to fund them on the NHS. They're wildly expensive. They need multiple brain scans, which are hard enough to get anyway, because we don't have enough scanners. Although the new government is pledged to double the number of scanners in the UK within the year. And they'll be AI augmented as well, which means they'll, you know, when it comes to counting things, AI is really good at that. So hopefully that'll speed results too. So good news, but now is not the time for these drugs. Over the next 5 years, I think you'll find lots of other drugs in the mAb range coming through. But the means of administering them will be less invasive. It won't require long blood transfusions, lumbar punctures, or anything like that. Goodness me, I think we're looking at oral medication, you know. And also, the number of people on those trials who suffered brain bleed, I believe they even had three deaths on the trial. It's not a gamble that anyone I know who's living with dementia is willing to take. I'd rather, if they want to spend £100,000 on me, I'd rather they spent it on my health and well-being, and we get back to social care again. I think we're putting money in the wrong place. We need to put it into giving people quality of life, because look, it's quality of life that's important, not quantity. What's an extra 5 months if it's 5 months of misery?
Absolutely, absolutely agree with that. And I guess, do you think we're still being pushed? I think we've had this discussion before, but we're always pushed down the medical route. Someone comes up with a bill, whoopee, we'll go for that. Whereas all the social interactions that are so important, and stopping people feeling lonely, giving them things to do. As you say, for my feeling also, they're the things that don't get enough money and don't get enough attention.
No, they don't. You know, Peter, I run a series. I've been running a series of comedy workshops. My last series has just finished, and I've got another lot starting in January, and I can't wait. And these are for people, NHS service users who are, some have mental health problems, some quite severe. It could be anything, though. It could be stress, anxiety, or people who just want to smile. And when I sit in on those workshops, it's just great for me. It's a proper buzz, and everybody who's there comes out full of joy. Oh, well, what could be better than that? You know, I read somewhere that the endorphins that are released through laughter are stronger than those released through the use of Class A drugs, and they're a lot cheaper. So go along to a comedy workshop and thoroughly enjoy it. You know, we create group limericks, which is a bit scary. You're living on the edge of your seat because you never know how the limerick's going to finish when you start it, because we all write a line each. But we have group rules, you know, and it works really well. And some of the things that we've come up with as a group are just amazing. I could never have thought of some of these wacky plots up on my own. And so, if you haven't got a comedy workshop near you, start one up. You know, all you need is a piece of paper,
Yeah.
and just get it. People will come along.
The station that makes you feel good.
Start your day the right way with Revive Active's range of super supplements and get the most out of life. Take one power-packed sachet mixed with water and enjoy a super tasty health drink at work, at home, or on the go. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to optimize your health and well-being to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, and more. No filler, no stimulants, no artificial colors or preservatives, just the right mix of vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and hero ingredients to help you put back what life takes out. Try our 7-day or 30-day boxes and use code UKRADIO to get a free supplement shaker. Revive Active. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
The station that makes you feel good.
Rain falling on a chance of snow. Joan and Louis on the radio. French beer. That'll be Christmas. Cars queuing on the edge of town. Afternoon with the blinds pulled down. It's just the way that the year goes round. That'll be Christmas.
stupid hat. Muddy boots on the welcome mat. You just can't say no to that. And hot wine and a Christmas tree. The sound of music and the family. Faith, hope and gluttony. That'll be Christmas.
Gilmore, and that'll be Christmas here on the D Word, where we're on the lookout for guests to appear in 2025. So if you've got a story to tell, do contact us at tdwradio@gmail.com. My guest on this special festive edition is Pete Middleton.
Katie Gilmore defects, I think, is, you know, probably the byline. And it's, you know, it's that whole humour thing, isn't it? You know, some people still find it difficult to put humour and dementia together.
Yeah, they do. And I understand why. I think if you're not living with dementia, people can be very critical of you. But listen, I've got a licence to tell jokes about dementia because I'm walking the walk. So I hopefully I can demystify things a little bit and poke gentle fun at some of the humorous things that happen to people who are living with dementia. I remember the other morning when I woke up and I got out of bed, sprang out of bed full of the joys of spring. It was the middle of summer, you know, the weather was beautiful. I rushed into the front room, pulled open the curtains and waved to the people at the bus stop. You know, and my wife said, "Pete, you haven't got any clothes on. Shut the curtains quick," she said, "because people will think I married you for your money." So, you know, it's there's always something funny in the things that happen in your daily life, aren't there? You know, for all of us. And we should document them, I think, and share them, because it makes people realise that we're all the same, that we share a commonality, and that it's okay to smile. And have fun, as long as you're not vindictive and cruel.
Yeah, that certainly is better than anything you get out of a Christmas cracker. There's no doubt about that. But I get, you know, moving on with that point, because portrayal of dementia in the media, we've had soap operas, we had the Vicar in Emmerdale a few years ago and various other characters. It's really generally always been very dark. Whereas the humour side, people have shied away from. Is it a time that we have someone living with dementia? We've had people with cerebral palsy, various things. Rosie Thomas comes to mind as a comedian. Why not someone living with dementia?
Yeah, well, hopefully it'll happen. I know I've been trying for ages to write a little comedy script for two people living with dementia, a bit like Peter Cook and Dudley Moore when they used to sit down opposite each other at a table, you know, and just have that script that they never kept to. And they could never look each other in the eye, could they? Because they burst out laughing. Something funny like that with two people with dementia. I'd love to get that off the ground. Maybe it will happen. I don't know. You know, we've had the Cafe That Makes Mistakes. That was fantastic. You know, that showed people living with dementia in as human beings. But, you know, by and large, scripts are written by people who don't have dementia, maybe carers. It's great, but of course, it's their perspective. So people with dementia are always victims. We're always objects of pity. And I don't want to be an object of pity at all, unless it suits me. I want to be just Pete Middleton, who's doing his best living with dementia, because I'm 70 years old, for goodness sake. We've all got comorbidities of one sort or another, haven't we? There's nothing special about me. I want people who are newly diagnosed to see that they still got worth, that there's still loads of things they can be doing, whether it's making people laugh or creating art or poetry or prose or teaching or informing young people. Goodness me, there's so many things, and I'm fed up with being told what I can't do anymore. I want people to tell me what I still can do, because there's a lot of it. And I want to tell people as well, just because you've had a diagnosis of dementia, that doesn't stop you doing anything. It really doesn't. You've got to examine yourself all the time and say, okay, right, I might not be able to do that anymore, but what can I still do? What skills have I still got?
Yeah, I think it's about kind of still having control, isn't it? And not allowing people to take that control away.
I mean, look, by the time this broadcast goes out, I'll have had my sixth birthday of my diagnosis. It was the middle of December, and it'll be 6 years. And certain things are different now. And every now and then I'm confronted by something I can't do so much as I or so well as I used to. But by and large, I'm ticking along quite nicely, thank you. And I thank my lucky stars. I've changed my lifestyle a lot, and I think that's got a lot to do with it. I live very healthily now, although I didn't live too unhealthily beforehand. But people like you, who give me useful things to do and make me question myself and my life and everything like that, and people who give me the opportunity to work for them and with them, they're the ones who are keeping me on track, and they're the ones who are keeping the wolf of dementia away from my door, I think. Without you all, I don't know where I'd be now. I know during lockdown I started quite a steep decline in my faculties, because I was deprived of conversation and stimulation. As soon as lockdown finished, all of a sudden I picked up again. And so I search now. I actively search for things to do to keep me busy and make me feel useful. And I think that's the secret.
Maybe this Christmas will mean something more. Maybe this year love will appear deeper than ever before. And maybe forgiveness will ask us to call someone we love, someone we've lost, for reasons we can't quite recall. Ooh, maybe this Christmas. Maybe there'll be an open door. And maybe this star that shone before will shine once more.
Great lyrics on Tracy Thorn and Maybe This Christmas here on UK Health Radio, where you'll find a whole host of shows to keep you company over the festive period, all available for listen again and download from the website at www.ukhealthradio.com. My guest this week is dementia advocate Pete Middleton.
Yeah, you know, it's a two-way street. Because we'll move on to AI, because people have mentioned AI to me. And when people have mentioned AI to me, I said, my friend Pete, well, he's been doing poetry, graphics, comic books. He's even produced an infographic about the advantage of AI for people living with dementia. And you've been a bit of an AI icon to me, because when I've looked at what you can do with it, I thought, well, I wonder what Pete's doing with it. You know, there's been some great stuff you've done with AI.
Well, come on board, Peter, because it's a brave new world out there. You know, 50 years ago, we all went to see a movie, didn't we, called 2001, A Space Odyssey. And on there was a computer called HAL. And he was an AI computer. You know, I'm sorry, Dave, I can't do that. I mean, it wasn't a really good role model, but we all thought, wow, artificial intelligence is here. 50 years later, and we're only just on the cutting edge of a new wave of artificial intelligence. We've got things like Alexa and Google, but that's not AI. There's a series of stock answers to any question that you give the horrid Alexa, isn't there? And if it doesn't know, it'll start asking you if you want to hear a song about flatulence or something like that in the middle of, you know, when the vicar's round having tea. It's just an awful piece of kit, but it's not AI. AI has potentially great advantages for the dementia community, I'm sure. But there are also with that great challenges ethically. And I'm trying to do my best now. I'm working with Alzheimer's Society, who really get the idea of making sure that any AI systems that are introduced into business or into their own business are checked to make sure they're ethically okay, that they're not biased, and that also that important information that they've got, that sensitive information about vulnerable people, is safe, secure, and protected. Thing is, generative AI, as we call it, is relies on learning from a pool of data. So you really don't want to be using something like ChatGPT, or Grok. These are commercial applications, because you don't know where that pool of data comes from. It might be biased, it might be racist, sexist, ableist. You know, you just don't know. In fact, it's proved to be the case with a couple of these applications, and they've had to be pulled. So you need a pool of data. A dementia charity, I suppose, is ideal for that, because they keep a pool of data about people with dementia, and that's great to learn from. So as long as you keep it in-house and secure, it's probably more safe. But with that, you can do things. Well, for instance, I've been working with recently with some people from Berkeley and Harvard University, who are designing an AI companion called Elvo, E-L-V-O, deliberately not male or female. So it's a gender neutral thing. Because some people are uncomfortable speaking to women, some people are uncomfortable speaking to men, you know, it depends on your dementia, I guess. But the beauty of Elvo is not only would you believe you were speaking to a human being, because actually I'm away on a holiday now, I'm just an AI voice that you're speaking to. No, it's not only would you believe you're speaking to a human being, it will learn from you. But not only will it learn from you, it will understand and detect traces of cognitive decline. It will pick up changes in your speech pattern or the way you present yourself on video. And it can then communicate that once it monitors it. It can communicate it to health professionals or, you know, a designated family member. So that might enable me to live independently and on my own for longer. if I've got somebody monitoring me and maybe reminding me also about things. You know, we don't know, as Mr. Rumsfeld famously said, we don't know what we don't know about AI yet. Every day I'm amazed at the step change in capabilities of AI. I love generating art with AI. I don't think it's a cheat, and poetry too, because it all relies on a prompt. You have to write a prompt in native English, which the AI engine interprets. And the quality of the output depends upon the quality of the prompt. Garbage in, garbage out. Same as any sort of programming. And crafting a good prompt is fun. And also waiting for the result to come through and seeing whether it's good or awful. That's great too. It's like fishing. You know, when you cast the net and wait to see what you've caught. It's intriguing and I love it. Yeah.
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight, we're happy tonight. Walking in a winter wonderland. Gone away is the bluebird. Here to stay is a new bird. He sings a love song as we go along. Walking in a winter wonderland. In the meadow we can build a snowman. Then pretend that he is Parson Brown. He'll say, are you married? We'll say, no, ma'am. But you can do the job when you're in town. Later on, we'll conspire as we dream by the fire to face unafraid the plans that we made walking in a winter wonderland. Snow is glistening, a beautiful sight. We're happy tonight, walking in a winter wonderland. In the meadow we can build a snowman, then pretend that he is Parson Brown. He'll say, are you married? We'll say, no, man. You can do the job when you're in town. Later on, we'll conspire as we dream by the fire to face unafraid the plans that we made walking in a winter wonderland.
Oh, you can't beat a bit of Ella Fitzgerald at Christmas. There she was with Winter Wonderland. I'm chatting to my guest this week, Pete Middleton.
Well, I'm hopeful that AI radio hosts are a little way away, although there are some, actually, and I have seen. But again, you know, like you say, it's very much we're in the infancy of it, and it's how we apply things. Interestingly, I spoke to Wendy Weidner a couple of weeks ago from Alzheimer's Disease International, who said they use some AI on this year's World Alzheimer's Report, just to see how things worked out. And it picked up a lot of the terminology that people had used for dementia that wasn't particularly good. And it goes, what you were saying about it depends what data pool you come from. Yeah. And it quite shocked them that some of the stuff that the AI was coming out with in terms of the report.
Yeah, I've used it. It talks about suffering and individuals and all that sort of thing. You know, at the moment, it's a great tool for trawling the internet and getting lots of information very quickly. But it needs that human touch because you need to evaluate that information and find out. Just because the AI says it's correct doesn't mean it's correct. You know, if it's picked it up from X or somewhere like that, it could be just nonsense, couldn't it? It might be from a post I've written. It'll be true. No, you know, it can't differentiate fact from fiction. sadly. So you know, it's not. I don't think it's anything to fear. I think I'm old enough to remember when electronic calculators first come in, and everybody thought no one would be able to do math anymore. But we soon realised all the calculators are is a tool to do the tedious legwork. But 9 times out of 10, I still used to check the answers even after I'd done the calculation on my electronic calculator, because I'm old fashioned. But when I went to work as an aero engineer, I found that it made a lot of my calculating a lot easier than having to use a slide rule and some of the old-fashioned bits and pieces I used to use. So we use it as a tool. It's not as a replacement. I don't think people need to fear that. You might well find that AI will be useful as a broadcaster for creating a playlist for certain people, but for presenting it, no. Never, never.
Good.
So it might take the tedium out of searching through. I love the Technicolor Web of Sound is one of my favourite websites because it's all 1960s psychedelic music, But there's bands here that I've never heard of, and it's a delight to get a playlist from that and discover things that I just remember as a dim memory that I might have heard once when I was 15, And it takes the legwork out of it. So if it comes up with a list, I can then refine that myself and make it mine. And that's the beauty of AI. Let it do the donkey work and then refine it and make it yours.
Yeah, I'm definitely into that. I think I don't buy into that one. I mentioned the World Alzheimer's Report. Something really interesting came out of the report, and that was that 80% of the public and 65% of health professionals, and bear in mind this is worldwide, think dementia is a normal part of aging still.
That's depressing, isn't it? But it shows how much work we've got to do to educate the general public. I mean, when you tell people that over the last 10 years in the UK, dementia is the top cause of death on death certificates, they're amazed about that as well. But they shouldn't be, should they? It's just because we don't have a voice, because we give up after our diagnosis, most of us. And we let carers take over from us and be our voice, and we become an irrelevance. I think if more people living with dementia had more of a high profile in society and the media, I think people would treat us more differently. But
So,
that's yet to happen. We've had one or two. Wendy Mitchell had a high profile, bless her heart, and there's been a few more.
The station that makes you feel good.
Stop suffering with pet-related allergies when near dogs and cats. Great news, you can feel safe around pets with NasalGuard for pet lovers. NasalGuard topical gel blocks pet dander, hair, and dust mites from entering your nasal passages. Try NasalGuard for pet lovers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about NasalGuard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Dec, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Maybe I'm disassociating. Maybe I just like decorating. Either way, it's Christmas time again. So just let me sing silver bells. It's propping up my mental health. Come on now, it's Christmas time again. I know for some it's just a humbug time of year. Don't need the big guy on his silly flying deer. But when I decorate my little plastic tree, I feel the serotonin coming back to me. So bring your unprocessed family trauma and your bunny-footed pink pajamas. Come on now, it's Christmas time again. Got the cookies and the eggnog, strings of lights, gaudy garlands. Come on now, it's Christmas time again. I know for some it's just a humbug time of year. Don't need the big guy or a silly flying deer. But when I decorate my little plastic tree, I feel the serotonin coming back to me. Christmas time again. So just let me sing silver bells. It's wrapping up my mental health. Come on now, it's Christmas time again. Come on now, it's Christmas time again.
The very talented Chris and the Holly, who make up Honeysuckle and Christmas Time Again. My guest this week on the D Word Christmas special is Pete Middleton.
Yeah, you know, talking of media, you had a bit of profile as well, which we saw a brief appearance in the documentary Love, Loss and Dementia, which was on Channel 4. Excellent bit of television, and a brief appearance for yourself.
Yeah, I was quite amazed. Kate Lee, the CEO of Alzheimer's Society, I went to the preview in London, and she grabbed me as soon as I walked in the door and said, Pete, I ought to warn you, there's about 3 seconds of you looking like that person from the Edvard Munch painting, The Scream. And I said, thanks for that. She said, it's in the adverts. So, there I was. That was when I was having a really bad day during lockdown. And I was 6 stone heavier as well. But I too, thought it was an excellent documentary. Absolutely. And very brave of the people who were featured in it to tell their stories as honestly as they did. And it showed dementia, warts and all. But it wasn't all doom and gloom either. And that's what we want to see. We want to see, this bad thing can happen and this bad thing can happen. But we also want to hear, but with help from dementia charities and good people, then we can provide this coping strategy. We can help with this and this to make things more bearable and easier. The same with any illness. There are things that you can do to mitigate a lot of the pain and grief, aren't they? You know, yeah, we forget that.
I think it's about anything. It's about life, really, isn't it? It's about having a balanced view. And at the moment, I think it's skewed too far one way in terms of dementia. We don't have the balance from the other side.
No, no, we honestly don't. We honestly don't. I don't know. I think it is the job of charities, not just to do the best for the dementia community, and I'm talking about all dementia charities here, but also they only survive through the goodness of people who donate. And if you want people to donate to your charity, you need to tug at their heartstrings. So I understand that imperative. But I also think while you're tugging at people's heartstrings, you ought to show them the good things that can be done with their money. And you should always do that, because that balances the message. Because I don't see myself as a victim. I may be one day, but I don't see myself as a victim now, or any of the people living with dementia that I interact with. None of us see ourselves as the people depicted in the popular press or the advertisements we see from dementia charities.
I think that's a great message at the right time of year. Time's sadly going to bring us to a close shortly, but we're on the verge of 2025. If you have one thing happening next year, what would it be?
I would like to see an all-party parliamentary group devising, in consultation with the dementia community, a long-term strategy for dementia care. Something that doesn't depend upon party politics or terms in Parliament. Something that's looking into the wild blue yonder of life. Because we have too much kicking the tin along, I think, in government. We always have had, and I guess that's part of government. But this is bigger than one party. This has got to be an all-party thing. So, you know, let's get together in a spirit of consultation and co-production and get it sorted.
Well, Mr. Streeting, Mr. Starmer, balls in your court with that one. And that's,
I think so. And there is the Spin Dementia Initiative, which has just started up, which I'm very interested in. And perhaps that will form a nucleus of something bigger. But I'd like to see, once again, an all-party parliamentary committee. I want parliamentarians of every colour and hue, a political hue, to have a stake in this and a bit of responsibility for making it work.
Christmas message from 2024. It's been an absolute pleasure, as always. We will catch up again in 2025, I have no doubt. But have a great Christmas with the family.
Thank you. You too. I'm off for a mince pie now.
Absolutely.
Merry Christmas, Peter.
Merry Christmas to you too. Thanks for being my guest.
Bye.
Many thanks to Pete, and I wish him all the best for the new year. And do take a look at his excellent blog, which you can find at www.livingwithdementia.online. Well, that's it for our special Christmas edition. My thanks as always to Angela, my production assistant. Next week, I'm going to be looking back on some of the best bits from 2024. So until then, thanks for your company and have a great Christmas.